Good morning and welcome to the Daily Recollection. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
I am born of karma. I'm heir to karma. I abide in karma and I'm supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Were you looking forward to this bead in the rosary in anticipation of finally getting some explanation of what karma is? A week would be insufficient to cover the complexity of the topic, and in many ways, understanding karma philosophically may be unnecessary for practicing with it. After all, how many of us are already doing exactly that, practicing with karma with only an intuitive sense of what karma means? Karma, noun, action or deed. If the guide is asked for a definition of karma, she is likely to pause, smile, and say, a term that was created to explain what is unexplainable. This may sound like a facetious response or a deflection of the question, but is it? Let's consider the following. Why is the world the way it is, with all its injustice and inequality? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is it so hard not to repeat history? Why am I here, in this place and time, with these people and these circumstances? Why am I the way I am, tall, emotional, socially responsible? Why am I prone to acting out a particular pattern of behavior, say being accommodating or shy? What makes me love what I love, mornings, fear what I fear, conflict, dislike what I dislike, bigotry? Why do I worry over finances while my sibling has the ability to seize the day and enjoy the moment? Why am I drawn to a spiritual life, to this practice? Why Zen and not some other religion or philosophy? Add your own. Even if we find a superficial answer to these questions, genetics, egocentricity, politics, chance, parents, trauma, cultural context, there is a sense that the explanation we arrive at is not wholly satisfactory. The undefinable cause, the effect of which appears to be our life experience, which appears to be our life experience and circumstance, is what is generally attributed to karma. This week, let's practice with the Bodhi bead. Why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open, Rumi? Practice becoming aware of karma. Begin this week by creating a deck of cards with each card representing some aspect of your karmic inheritance. Be as creative as you choose. Design a template for the deck. Illustrate each card. Make word portraits that play with fonts. While it's fine to put any and all karmic tendencies in this deck to get a complete picture of the hand you've been dealt, make sure that you capture those you suffer with. The karma may be a behavior, a tendency to procrastinate or being overly responsible, a mental thought pattern, obsessing about what others think of you. It might be a physical characteristic, low energy in the morning, an emotional orientation, sympathy for animals, a relationship, a partner, for example, who triggers simmering resentment. Each day, pick a card and make a recording exploring the possibility of not taking this karma personally. Make sure the mentor is part of the conversation. Add to your deck over the course of the week as more examples of karma drop in, and practice recording with more than one card. At the end of the day, RL about your practice with the Bodhi bead. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Melissa in Hawaii.
Hello, Melissa.
Hey, Sherry. Well, I've been working on this huge piece of my own karma for the past month or so, the Messiah complex that I've talked about before, and it's a very hard one to tease apart, so I'm calling today to share a little bit of content and look for guidance.
Mm-hmm. And Melissa, before we go on with this, don't forget, there's always Tuesday evening and open air.
Yeah. I may need
go to- ahead.
Thank you. Okay, so I have had a lot of clues, and I've seen a lot, but there's something, I'm not... there's something missing, and I think it must be in plain sight. And one thing that was a big clue happened this weekend. I've been traveling. My wife and I have been traveling for a long time, and our dog has been with a dog sitter. So all these wild chickens now come into our yard, and our dog wants to kill them. And every day we have an occasion with a chicken where we're trying to save it. And yesterday we didn't succeed. There were two chickens, and we didn't know it. And one got away, the one that we were focused on. And then we let her go, my dog go, and she went after another one. And I didn't know, nobody knew except for her that there was a second chicken. I just heard this chicken, and I kept telling my wife, I hear it. And she's like, it's okay, it's on the other side of the fence now. And I said, yeah, but Maple's running after something, and I hear it. And I became so overwrought and panicked that I couldn't get through to my wife. Instead of just chasing after the dog myself, I start looking on the other side of the fence. Oh, maybe I'm misunderstanding, all this stuff. And finally, I just said, I think there's a second chicken. And then my wife heard me, and she ran. But I, that entire time, was frozen and sort of panicked, and I'd say very close to rage that I couldn't get my point across, that I'm hearing something going on. And it just feels very familiar, and it feels very tied to this whole need to control, and I cannot freaking figure it out.
Well, you won't. You won't figure it out, because we don't. But what will happen if you continue to pay attention is that it will occur to you. You'll just realize it. It will show up in conscious awareness, and you will see it for what it is. If there were a shortcut, that would be great. That's the shortest shortcut I can offer you, and that is to just keep paying attention to all of it. And here's the key: believing as little about it as you possibly can.
You mean like
because?
You mean like a theory?
A theory?
What do you mean? What am I not believing?
The whole story of it. The whole that what you're experiencing has any reality in reality, other than what is that there's what's going on with you, and just being open to the possibility that there's no truth to it.
Yes. I think I am, because I think that the entire thing was manufactured by me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, like the emotions, the panic.
I think so too. And you can start, Melissa, you can start with having a dog that is allowed to run free in a yard that other creatures get into when it is so vitally important to you that the dog not kill the other creatures. All of that is such a setup. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, it's worse than that. She can't be in the house because she will kill our cats. So choosing the dog was quite a choice.
Well, yes, and I think you can see the karma in that. I hope you can see the karma in that. All these issues are vitally important to you, and this is the dog, and you still have the dog?
Yeah.
My goodness. I saw in my local paper the other day a picture of a dog that's available for adoption. Looked just like Pache. I don't know if you were around when we had Pache, but most beautiful German Shepherd ever, okay? So gorgeous. And under the picture, just gave the dog's name, age, blah, blah, blah. Wonderful dog. Cannot be around other dogs, cats, or small children. Now, this is a clear message, right? So if you want that dog, you don't be a person who has small children, cats, or other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Or you are setting yourself up, and the dog, and everybody else, up for a level of misery that that is going to become intolerable. It's a pretty good picture, actually, of karma. The kinds of things we do that make absolutely no sense to anybody else would say, why on earth are you doing that? But I have a karma to do it, and so I'm going to do it until I see it for what it is, and I'm able to stop.
Wow. All right.
All right.
Super helpful. Thank you.
Tuesday night. We can talk more.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take good care of yourself now.
Thanks. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Melissa. It really boggles the mind, right, Sherry, that we have the ability to recruit all the forces and beings of creation to work out our own salvation.
Yes, and the importance of realizing that without self-hatred. That's why self-hatred is the first, going beyond it, is the first principle of this practice. We have to realize there's nothing wrong. We have to, if we're ever going to be free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the process by which we matter-of-factly accept the deck that we've been dealt, right? Then what? Yeah.
Yes. And again, the language for me is that we've been dealt and that we are dealing. The exercises you've given us kind of indicate it. Right? I get up in the morning, I get all these cards, and I deal myself a deck for the day. I mean, a hand for the day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Andrea.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi. Gosh. I just wanted to call in. I have been working on the karma cards.
Mm-hmm.
And, what I've been noticing is that what I've been doing is when I have noticed that I have identified with something, I will write it on the card.
Mm-hmm.
So far I have three cards. Well, actually I have two. One of them I'm in the process, but what I'm noticing is I have a basically urgency. I can't do it. I'm not doing it right card, which came up while I was trying to do the cards, and I had the fun of actually writing the I'm not doing it right on the card as I was hearing the voice that I'm a terrible drawer and I have terrible handwriting and I can't do the card how it should be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there we go, right? Become aware of that is karmic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I really wanted to make a woman running on a treadmill and couldn't figure out how to do it. And
there it is, a figuring it out card.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's so funny because I was sharing it with my husband, and he said, why don't you just look up a stick figure and do it as a stick figure? And so I looked up a stick figure running, and I was like, whoa, his brilliance was amazing. You know, I didn't have to figure it out. He figured it out. Or life. Anyhow, it's running on a treadmill, and I guess I could also say it's kind of the wheel of karma.
Yes. Well, and what you're embodying, right, Andrea, is the willingness to look at it because I am supported by karma, right? And so there is a way in which I'm also looking at what the karma is and having fun in the process and recognizing I don't have to figure it out. Somebody else does. You know, somebody else can. I mean, there's so much that gets released in the process of just simply being aware.
Well, and I think just being willing to do it because, and I'm still struggling with being supported by karma. I don't really understand it, but anyway, maybe it will drop in. And another thing.
Well, and or you're supported to do your karma deck, to see it, to be willing to do it.
Yeah, I guess so. And I guess he was supporting me, or life was supporting me also.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that came up today was I made my first recording of not taking it personally, and I figured, and I did it with the one I was identified at that point, which was resentment, and I guess what I saw was there was also that I'm not doing it right again for that, and I think it was the thing with the mentor, because it's like, it sets up this huge standard for ego, which is, you know, some Madonna is supposed to come from the sky and come up with these amazing words. And, and that's always a stumbling block because there's so much expectations. And what it came down to was, well, I'm taking it personally right now. I'm finding it hard to not take it personally. And what came up was, okay, I'm seeing I'm taking it personally, and maybe what I could do is just drop the conversation.
How brilliant. How absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So there it is. I'm doing the assignment. I'm watching the karma attempt to play itself out. I'm doing the practice. And recording with the mentor, watching the process of that same expectation, that same, there must be something so much bigger than all of what I think it should be, I think this is, in order to assist or support or whatever it is. And then I get to, drop the conversation.
Yeah.
There it is. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And yeah. I want to say, yeah, it's a great assignment, and, you know, I would love to make a board game where the object of the game is essentially you have, like, a certain number of karma cards, and there could be multiple players, and the object is to reassure yourself
that you are playing, right? Reassure yourself that you're trying to have fun, to enjoy yourself.
Yeah. That's a great assignment, and I love the thought of it being a game. So thank you, and Gasho.
Thanks, Andrea. And I can't mute you, so if you would mute yourself, please.
Sure.
Or call back in. Thanks.
I could go on for at least an hour and a half on that conversation, all the amazing points that were made in that conversation. But the thing I appreciated most about it is how difficult it is for us to see the process that we're actually engaged in. Because what Andrea was doing was insight. And we don't realize that that's the transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we spend a week like this, or a day, or an hour, or whatever, and what we see changes us.
Mm-hmm.
We're completely different, which is why ego is so desperate to get us to stop looking. Just look at it. Just be in the conversation. Just stay in the conversation. Go over the same things over and over and over and over and over and over until you die. Because if you just watch, if you just pay attention, you're going to change. You're going to be a different person.
Yes, and there is that the transcendence of not perpetuating who I was.
Yes.
Or what I came in with, right? There is that transformation of who I am.
Yes. And to realize that taking it personally is a process. It's not that there's that this is something that I, that the authentic expression of life, do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a conversation. Just a conversation in the head. Yeah.
Mm.
That was good.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, it's Jill in Massachusetts.
Hey, Jill. What are you seeing?
Hey. Well, I was looking at this mental process that I notice often, which is of reviews. So doing, I'll have a conversation, or I'm actually doing my job performance review too. So this mental process of looking backward and it being framed in just, you know, what is lacking, you know, what did I miss, what, you know, it's, it can be.
What's wrong? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with them? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with life? Yeah.
Exactly. But what I just saw with these conversations is that, you know, the part of that karma that supports me is that that is a place of transformation, and that I, when I see it, you know, there is a crossroad of, I can drop it. I can drop it. I can drop it. I can drop it. And that feels that, like is was just said, I mean, that just completely changes my relationship to it, because I've been noticing it so much. I've also, you know, conditioning has come in with the second part of that, the double arrow, and somewhat, you know, the like, oh my gosh, this is a problem that you're so, you know, past obsessed, and you know it's not stopping, and you can't control it, and you're doomed to just be, you know, messed
you're just
up
doomed,
obsession.
Jill, to be you. You're just doomed to be you for the rest of your life. Yeah. Excuse me. And you know the funny part for me, it's like everybody, what ego wants us to do is start life now. Not the now we're actually talking about in practice, but now. Okay, you just said that thing that upset me, and life begins now. Now we're off to the races, right? I have to take that personally. It has to mean something. I have to figure out why that happened. What am I going to do? What does it mean for my future? This whole, rather than the karmic view, which is so long. It's such a long-range view. And with that, what we don't take into account, so how am I being supported now in this current situation that I'm obsessing with? Mm. That's what support means, not I'm intelligent. I'm capable. I'm competent. I have a job that pays me well enough to live a lifestyle that I want to live. I can go where I want to go, do what I want to do. I have choices. If I need a new coat, I can go to the store and buy one. If I want food, I can go to the grocery store and get it. I mean, I am so supported. But that doesn't count. That's not really what we're talking about. Right? We're talking about, but in this situation where I'm being told there's something wrong with me.
Yeah. I mean, when you say it like that, the difference is so stark. It's, just this, the very short, the sort of the dark side of this idea of a moment where conditioning really does, experience something in such a limited way that it's.
Yes. And so with that picture, when we step back that way, it's like this is not even small potatoes. This issue, I really don't think I want to waste any life force on it at all, because in that context, it is so not a problem.
Yeah, and it generates so much gratitude that so when I can reflect, you know, I can feel that place of gratitude opened up, and that any reflection that is required of me for my job, I can come from that place rather than the conditioned place of hunting for something wrong.
The conditioned place of hunting for something wrong. That's it. That's ego. That is such a clear picture of ego. That's how it goes through life, right? Well, what's wrong? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's very good.
Thank you.
Have a fun review.
Thank you.
A fun and transformative, informative review.
Yeah, I know. It's
all
transformative.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Ashwini, are you speaking while
yes,
muted?
Yes, I am. I am, sorry.
Oh, very good.
I was just saying how fun it is, that point about recalibrating to the long range of the karmic view, right? Because
we
take every line of that, of the Bodhi bead and really look at it in every moment, then we get that same feeling that you're talking about. This little problem place is such small potatoes, and it's really, as our first caller said, my opportunity for transformation.
Yes, and whatever is going on, just when you said that, if I apply those four, I'm born of karma, I'm heir to karma, I abide in karma, I'm supported by karma. So I have a problem. What if I were to apply, see what drops in when I talk with the mentor about how each of those is true here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then we go beyond it.
Then offer all the merit. Yes.
And then offer all the merit. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini. This is Susan calling from Ontario.
Hey, Susan.
Ego's telling me you should not be calling on the first day. You have not spent nearly enough time with this. And I'm calling because this huge thing just landed like a sudden. I almost can't get out from underneath it. And it is the karma isn't personal. And it's when I was writing cards and I was starting to be with them, I thought it just, everything just kept saying, I take this personally. I take this personally too. I take it all personally. But it's not personal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it's such a beautiful articulation of the process of this bead, right? So here I am doing the assignment, and every karma that I put on the deck, we can hear something say, I take this personally. And then we're confronted with, well, it's not personal. So then what has to go? The I that takes it personally, right?
Yes, yeah.
In order for me to accept that it's not personal, that's what goes. What takes it personally?
What goes is what takes it personally. Okay.
Otherwise, it cannot be impersonal, right?
Yes. As I practice, week and week and day and minute by minute, I notice ego and what it's doing, and I notice how it makes everything about itself and how everything's personal. And I had this, and I realizing that when it came to the long view, I thought that was just, the I'm born of karma. Well, I came into this certain time and place and family and circumstances, and then, things happen, and that's karmic. I had major heart surgery as a little girl that's affected my, entire life, and you think that's, and then I realize, I think of that as karmic, and then I realize, but that's, I've made all these things define me, and so, oh gosh, just, yeah.
It's astounding, right? It does define
me. Astounding.
Right? It does, but the definition is limited, and there is also that life force that you're talking about that pursued a spiritual practice in order to look for an expansion of that definition. So when we're confronted by something like, oh my God, I allowed all of this to define me, where do we go other than self-hate? Which is why Cherry says the first principle of this practice is the ability to confront all that and not collapse into being not worth existing, right?
Yes, yeah. Now I have this extreme.
Allow ourselves a couple of beats to recover from that shock. Oh my God, I'm not the center of the universe. Okay, then what?
Yeah, exactly. I have this amazing opportunity right now to not be in Ontario, but to be deep in the woods on the coast of the Bay of Fundy for a couple of weeks. And there's been this surprise, really deep snowfall today, quiet, and I've been, you know, sitting here just with the trees, and, you know, they're just reassuring me, you know, karmically that, yeah, and it's almost like at the same time as it's this, oh my God, part of it, there's also this, wow.
Oh my God,
Barbara. Oh my God, yay. Yeah.
Yes.
And so I have this amazing opportunity just to sort of be with whatever this assignment unfolds through the week in this, you know, amazing solitary location. And but anyway, that's why I called today, and I can't wait to hear what the rest of the week brings.
Precisely. As soon as we confront that limitation and we're willing for the expansion, it's sort of what was said in the assignment, right? Now we're in touch with the vast and mysterious forces that are at play in our lives. Now I'm open to the possibility, to the possibility that the tree can reassure me. Yeah.
It's like a piercing, getting to the heart of it, really, isn't it? That's what it feels like to me.
Yes. Beautiful, piercing to the heart of it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan.
I think Susan can trust her feelings on that, don't you?
Oh, I absolutely do.
I was laughing to myself when she was describing that. It's like ego goes, oh, my God, and the heart goes, oh, God.
Yes, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Mm. Second one's definitely the one we're going for. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're both there. And that's the power of presence, right? When we're present, we get to see them. We get to see egos freak out. And we get to feel and see the heart just melt into all that stress and possibility.
Mm.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
Very fun. What a way to begin this week, Sherry. And we look forward to talking to more callers tomorrow.
Indeed we do. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.